Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our campaign is Horror on the Orient Express, and this is episode 54. I'm your game master, and Jeff Wilkins will be giving our recap. So let's get back into it. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Jeff?
Thanks, Sam. Our last episode started off with a group back on board the Orient Express. It's Friday, February 9th, 1923. We had just left the city of Vinkovci, and are headed now to Belgrade with a scheduled arrival time of 12:53 p.m. Once we get settled into the train, though, the group starts to read the book titled The Narratio de Tilius Corvus, which brings us back in time during the Roman times of 330 A.D. We're role-playing out this section as new characters. Myself as Galerius, Wayne as Belisaire, Thomas as Emmerich, Mick as Malonius, and Simon as Demonius. We're given a lot of background information, which I won't recap everything here, so I'll just try to hit some of the bullet points. We're all a group of soldiers just about to enter our retirement years. We're currently heading up construction sites across Constantinople, and we're approached by our leader, Tilius Corvus, for one last mission. We're first sworn to secrecy, and then we're told about our mission. A horrible plague has been broken out in three nearby towns, and it's suspected that the group of cult members from a satanic cult is behind it all. We must find the cult members and put them down. We arrive at the military outpost. There are about a dozen tents set up outside the outpost that contain the sick. The outpost holds approximately 150 men. We walk about camp and go amongst the sick to try and gather information. There's talk of people being flayed. Some of the sick have talked about being bitten like a bat-like creature at night. After getting this information, we decide to next go and investigate the towns the following morning. That brings us up to date.
All right. As I believe, it was the evening, you guys have gone to bed. And the next morning comes. You hear, of course, it's not, of course, a restful night. All the things going through your minds, but there's also, you know, the occasional scream from out in the plague tents as somebody is dying, or, you know, it's not unpainful what's happening to them.
Back my morning shave.
So let's assume that you guys pull yourselves together, and over breakfast, if you want to discuss anything, go ahead. If you want to ask more questions, please do so. There are other soldiers there, obviously.
Everyone seems strangely calm for a group of people so close to the plague.
And they're not at ease. Nobody's at ease.
Okay. I can't say I am either.
I'd rather be somewhere else. When I said non-combat posting, that didn't mean a plague unit.
Yeah, well, if we're dealing with people who've got an infectious disease, I'm glad I'm an archer. I can stay as far away from them as possible.
I'm handy with a javelin, so I can keep the distance. Yeah. Well, all we can do is follow orders and hope we can retire. It ain't going to be that long.
One thing that you do notice, and it's not unusual at all, is Tilius himself seems in a very good mood. He is... He's bright and cheery the way he always is. He's trying to foster morale amongst these soldiers who are quite frankly terrified. He's playing it all off as, oh, it's nothing. We'll handle this problem. And there's a large group of soldiers on the way, which is a total lie. But he wants these people not to panic and run, because that's definitely a possibility at this point.
Happy officers make me nervous.
And there's, you guys have been with Tilius for a long time. You know his attitude towards this. He takes this situation extremely seriously, but you guys can, at this point in time, after so many years, you guys can read each other's body language completely. You know exactly what Tilius is doing. He doesn't have, in fact, at this point in time, he can practically give you commands with a glance, you know.
I'm trying to put a good face on, because we're meant to be an elite unit after all. So I'm going to do the shave, breakfast, and clean my weapons, and do the total military handbook thing. Look like nothing's getting to me, because we're an elite unit, so we should right. behave like such.
Right. He finally sits down with you, and he has some breakfast, and he says, "So, gentlemen, how shall we proceed today? What do you think? I would like your opinions."
Well, it seems we've got three villages where there were outbreaks of the plague.
Yes,
but Kaliki, however they pronounce it. Is that the one where they said that they'd actually seen this cult, the Flayed, been seen there?
I think that they've all said that. I think they've all said that they've all said that. Seen lots of bodies, and one doesn't know whether it's exaggerated or not.
Can't tell with the Persians.
I would think that if we're to fulfill our commitment to containing the plague, then our first course of action have to be to reconnoitre those three villages.
Mm-hmm. Track down, use our skills to track these bandits down, maybe.
Should we?
We're better suited at that than we are sitting around, so.
Mm-hmm. Which was the last of the villages to experience an outbreak, or the most recent one?
We're about 3 weeks behind it, aren't we? 3 weeks behind the Riders.
From what I understand, it started in Kaliki, and then it went to Alakadi, and then Serenes, and by then there were floods of people coming here from the three villages.
Started in Kaliki.
What do you reckon, old man?
There's two things I'm thinking about. Last night it struck me. Yesterday we asked a lot of questions about the plague itself, and we got a lot of details and such. I don't remember getting a lot of questions or answers about the cult members.
Well, perhaps we should gather a little bit more information before we head in that direction.
Okay. The other thing I was going to mention is that there was mention that recently a 4-man patrol went missing. I thought maybe were they the last known victims, that maybe we could start there?
I believe that is the case, that they did not return.
They probably belonged to this unit of part-timers, didn't they?
Start the recent events and work back.
Watching this lot in the morning dealing with their kit. We don't know one end of a javelin from another. They're all pissing their pants because of this disease.
Just to clarify something you said there, Melonius, is our priority the plague, or is our priority to put down the cultists?
Well, our three bullet points are... there would be bullets, yeah. Slings, bullets.
Slings, bullets, yeah. Javelin points.
Report, contain the plague, and no infected to reach Sardis.
If the cults are behind it, if we find the cults, it should be the end of the problem.
But I'd agree with the old man. If that 4-man patrol went missing the day before we got here.
Yeah, but when us, was it? I mean, we're an elite unit. Anyone who come across us in the past hasn't lived to regret it, have they?
Well, I think we need to find out where those 4 men went missing.
I'd rather get out and about than sit around a campfire.
That's going to give us the most recent trail.
better the enemy we know.
I mean, if the trail's a couple of days old, it's still, theoretically, it's still workable, isn't it? So.
And they don't know they've been pursued either. They might be taking their time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and if they're mob-handed, if there's a few of them, then they've got more chance of leaving a trail behind them.
We can handle them. I've got you guys by my side. I'm not scared of anybody.
Not even Emmerich.
Well, maybe him, yeah.
I then glare at the group, but then I smile when, as soon as Demaius, I can't pronounce anything. I may be good looking, but I'm stupid.
You nearly got married yesterday.
Almost, this close. No, he just, what he really needed was a friend and someone to help him understand the good word. He needed, I think that he needs something more than what we can provide him. Yeah. Something more spiritual to help him through his journey.
We need a good old Greek, that's what we need.
Yes.
Remember you're surrounded by soldiers too, so. One of them heard you talking about the missing soldiers. And, he says, if you're looking for the missing soldiers, we don't know where they went. They, of course, headed towards Cerence, and we haven't heard back from them. They have not returned. We don't know how far they got. We don't know where they went.
We assume they were headed towards Kaki. Are they reliable men? They wouldn't desert.
Of course they are.
Did they have a particular mission? Were they supposed to go to Cerence?
Reconnaissance.
That's where we should head then.
Probably.
They're probably going to be expecting more soldiers to find out what happened to the last lot, but whether they're going to be expecting us this soon or not, it's not a matter.
Now, there have been other groups that have been sent out, but they've come back. That's the last one that was sent out, and they didn't. And since then, Longinus is like, no. Where nobody's to get any farther away than, you know, not to get out of sight.
Well, someone must know where they were sent, then.
Well, I'm sure that's where they were sent. That's where all the problems are coming from. I mean, you can ask Longinus, but I'm sure that's where they were sent. If there are cultists, maybe they captured them.
Well, I mean, there's two... We've got two options then. Either we can go and reconnoiter the most recent, the site of the most recent outbreak. Or, working on the adage that if the cultists are a fixed location, Kalaki would be the first place that they attacked if they're spreading some sort of disease as a weapon, which, you know, we know people do with, you know, we've all heard of that with infected animals being thrown over the walls of towns under siege. So they might have attacked Kaliki because it's nearest to their
location. Their location, that would make a lot of sense. There's also three things that we're talking about here. We're talking about the plague, of course. We're talking about cultists. We're also talking about some sort of monster. Or bat thing.
Bat creature. Yeah, I was talking to the other guys last night. Perhaps when we investigate these villages, we can look for or keep an eye out for these creatures if they actually exist. Could be an actual regular bat that might have some sort of disease or something like that.
It's called. Did they say they'd seen them in the villages?
Yes. I mean, the villagers are the ones who brought the stories of monsters and cultists. Actually, the reconnaissance as far as I know, the reconnaissance didn't show any kind of... they found dead bodies, but they didn't find any cultists or animals, creatures. Of course, then they went missing. So,
well, where do you think we should go? Should we? Which was the most recent village, by the way, that was here?
The most recent village would have been Sirens.
Sirens.
And most of the villagers, however, are from Kaliki because Sirens and Alakadi are not very large. And there is, of course, farms all over in between here and there. It's farm country.
So what's the old zone?
Seems to be the locus, doesn't it?
Sorry, say that again.
Kaliki seems to be the center of the outbreak. It's where it started, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Obvious question: is it like is one town north and one town the south and one town's east, or is one on the way to another?
They're on the way to another.
So the first one we would come to?
You've got woodlands on either side, and you've got a peak, a mountain peak on, I'd say, on your left-hand side. So you're sort of heading towards the mountain peak, and then you go around the mountain. And you're going to hit Sirens first, and then you'll hit Alakadi, and then you'll hit Kaliki on the far side of the mountain.
Well, yeah, in that case, it makes sense to go Sirens first.
And that's mostly to the east. You're going to go kind of southeast, and then you're going to kind of go northeast as you're going around the mountain.
Okay.
And it's not a big mountain. It's more like a glorified hill.
That may be big enough to hide a group of cultists.
Well, and there's woods and there's other hills and mountains around.
It's still relatively early in the morning as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's... Corvus is thinking, I think that we need to maybe ask some of the villagers some more details, not necessarily on the plague, but on what they think they've seen as far as cultists and monsters. It's probably hysteria, but at the same time, maybe we can get some common knowledge, you know, from multiple people. Maybe if they agree on it, if there's a consensus, then there might be something there.
I agree.
Well, I have to, don't leave without me, but I do have to do some work with Longinus. We're going to try to get these men up to snuff, if you will. Because it's not a phrase
I had that long. Use, but...
What's that?
I didn't know we had that long.
Well, I mean, don't waste too much time. We should, you know, by late morning, if we're gonna head towards Kaliki, we should leave. I don't think that we want to get stuck out there at night. But it's still fairly early in the morning, so.
Well, let's find some of the more healthy looking villages.
Right.
See if we can find a few refugees from some of the villages and question them.
Here's the question: the villagers, did they say that they were attacked by this particular creature at night, or was it? do the times vary?
Always at night.
Then it might be an idea to, I guess, hang around at night to see if there's some sort of truth to this. I mean, if we can locate the source of this plague, and if it is that these animals that are spreading it, perhaps, you know, we have a place to start.
Good point.
I know, it's just an idea. If there's a group of animals that are actually spreading this disease, we can perhaps track down its nest or lair and, you know, put them down. Mm-hmm. And then problem solved.
Maybe we just plan for a long, several days trip to these different towns.
Yeah.
So let's talk to the...
Hold it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Carry on. Sorry.
And I was going to say, should we head out and talk to some of the sick people?
Yes.
It's a good idea too. You had about try to talk to the less what's the right word? The most sane of the sick people. So that we're not chasing hallucinations.
Well, and you can talk to the villagers who aren't infected too.
I think that would be a good start. That likely to be the more lucid ones, aren't they?
Although, expect a lot of exaggeration and a lot of, hysteria. Because, obviously, I heard the word demons in there, and I'm sure that Emmerich can relate to that word, but, it's some... I'm not... I'm not a Christian, so I respect your religion. I don't believe in the devil.
Just to metagame it, I'm sure our GM wouldn't lead us down a path of hallucinations.
Are you trying to see my poker face?
Trying to gauge it.
Where's the fun in that?
So you had to point it out, Jeff. Now he knows.
Just real quick, before we leave the camp here, are there any soldiers who did go out on patrol and did return?
Yes.
In other words, do we have any firsthand accounts from the soldiers as far as cultists? Or creatures?
No cult. The soldiers saw no cultists or creatures. They did, however, see a lot of dead bodies. Some of them skinned alive. Or some of them skinned. I don't know if they were skinned alive, but they were skinned. Maybe about half the bodies that they saw were skinned.
Okay.
A few of them tell you that aside from the fact that there were dead bodies everywhere, there was something very oppressive, something wrong about the whole thing, but nobody could quite put their finger on what it was that was so incredibly wrong about the whole thing.
For all of them, then, I'm trying to word this. So if the troops have seen no signs of cultists, we need to find out what makes a villager say there's a cultist. Are they all wearing long red robes or something? Or
okay. We'll have to go talk to them.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
We're off.
All right. Are y'all going?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So you leave the garrison and you head over to the tents, the refugee tents. And just as you get to the refugee camps, It sounds like a fight has broken out between two people. They're screaming, they're yelling at one another. It's obviously, as you were approaching, the sound went from a normal sound to a loud sound to an angry sound to they're just screaming bloody murder at one another. These two men, and they're about to come to blows. It looks like a few people are trying to restrain them.
I'll step up the pace and try to get there.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Sounds like somebody's having fun.
Okay. Emmerich, amidst the yelling and accusations that you hear, something about she's damned, her soul is damned, and the other one's like, how can you say that? And they're yelling at one another.
Okay, so I suppose I approach, right, and I say, what's all this about?
One of them immediately turns to you and he says, let's see, I gotta get the names. Nezzo there, and he's pointing at this, the other infuriated red-faced guy. They're both red-faced. Nezzo there says that my wife is going to hell because she survived the plague. And the other guy, Nezzo, apparently, he's like, she is. Her soul has been destroyed by the demons.
Okay.
And then the other guy is like, you've always hated my wife, or something like that. And they immediately go into trying to kill each other again.
Let me think, because there's a way. I know that there's a way that I can resolve this through talking, and without having to take a side. I know there is. I'm just gonna phrase it correctly.
One of the other villagers who's been watching the fight, sort of leans over to you, and he says, "They've both lost children to the plague. Nezzo's wife died, and Jensi's wife did not. And they've always hated each other. So."
So I looked at this exposition villager. Can you explain to me, are they neighbors? Are they from the same town?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Feuding neighbors.
Okay.
They're also both Christians.
Well, that's perfect. We're in Byzantine, so you know, whatever. I guess it's not called Byzantine yet. I step between the two, and I say, break it up. Then I turn to Nezzo, and I say, brother, this man here, his wife's soul is not gone. It was an act of God that she survived. I'm sorry that your wife.
It's like, no, it passed. Was an act of the devil, because she's an evil woman and she survived. And my wife was a good woman and she died. And he's very upset.
All right. I say, living through evil does not make you evil. But it's not God's will that your wife passed. Perhaps it was God's will that he brought you here and so that I may cross both your paths, because you shouldn't be mad at your neighbor for you should love thy neighbor, friend. Book of Matthew states this.
Why don't you go ahead and do
and as I'm saying, as I turn to the other guys and I say, does this ever work?
I don't know.
And then we'll figure out whether it works.
He's preaching again. I don't need any wine.
It's very beautiful. I think I'm going to weep.
I got a 34. I passed.
Okay. Well, they don't really calm down much, but they do go to their own corners. They're not. They sort of give up on the fight.
I mean, giving up on the fight is better than them still fighting. So I turn to the group and I say, I think of that as a success.
Well done.
Well done.
Hurrah. We didn't have to crucify him.
See, my problem is I can never tell if he's just distracting them to give us time to attack or if he's honest and sincere.
All he has to do is friend to crucify him. Do it the old way.
You should always speak from your heart first before you attack. Unless they attack you first, then you attack.
And you love your neighbors.
Well, the guy who sort of gave you the information, this the bystander, he's like, well, that's all settled. And he looks at you and he says Palladius, which is his name.
So I follow my fists and I put them on my hips and I say, Palladius, I'm Emmerich. And I hold out my hand and I'm going to give him a nice hearty handshake.
Okay.
Touch him.
And he says, Are you the first bunch that's coming to protect us all from the monsters and the cultists?
We like to think so, and I smile to the group, and I kind of wave them to approach.
Well, I'll ask the guy, has he seen any of these monsters for himself?
He says that he's pretty sure from what questions he's asked other people that the plague was started by a demonic sort of bat. Huge. It was huge. It was eyeless and wide-mouthed. And it escaped from the fires of hell to feed on the blood of the living by night.
How do you know that?
That's what I heard.
Well, how do they know that?
Well, sounds reasonable. I don't know. Sounds reasonable. I'm far more concerned about the cultists.
Ah, now have you seen the cultists?
The flayed? Oh yeah, we've seen them. They're in usually dressed in robes. I once got a glimpse of one of their faces. I'm pretty sure it was one, but they had pieces of skin removed from their face in patterns like writing of some sort. They're all goths. And of course it's not the way they dress, it's they're goths. Oh, the goths.
It might be they're all goths. Is it self-harming?
They're all
wearing Bauhaus t-shirts.
They're probably all escaped slaves.
Let's go to the local Hot Topic.
And they're probably the ones who are spreading the plague. These gothic slaves.
Have you ever seen a cultist that has been infected by the plague?
No.
Which village are you from, Valerius?
I am from Kaliki.
Kaliki.
So are they, by the way.
So how did the plague manifest there? Were there one or two cases of people with the plague, or did it all happen very quickly?
I'd say that it happened within a day or two. Some people saw some strangers, odd, dressed in robe at night. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we know everybody in the town. So you see strangers, it's kind of a big deal. But it was nighttime, so we figured they were heading to an inn or something like that. And then in the morning, there were no people. I mean, they weren't there any longer. But within a day, the plague broke out. I've heard all kinds of stories. There's things that fly in your window and, you know, bite you in the middle of the night, and that's how it spread. And but that they only come out at night.
And no one's seen the cultists during the day?
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody has.
Has anybody talked to the cultists?
No. But some of the people claim that they were threatened not to tell anybody that the cultists were there. So I guess somebody's talked to them. I haven't.
Do we have a particular direction that the cultists are coming or going? Has anybody noticed anything like that?
Not that I know of.
They weren't local, you're saying, right? When you said they were Goths, that means they're from...
Well, you know, there's criminals that are hiding up in the mountains, up in the hills. Nobody goes out there because there's no villages out there. But, you know, that's like if you were in Kaliki, that's kind of to the north of Kaliki. But, you know, nobody goes in that direction. It's, you know, everybody knows that there's bandits out in the woods. And if these are, you know, escaped Gothic slaves, then nobody's going to go out there. There are some farms. I mean, in you know, not too far from the village, though. But
were any of the farms hit by the plague?
Well, all the farmers are here, the ones that weren't killed or didn't die. A lot of our population is dead.
Don't any of the farmers any point out to us?
I'm sorry.
Are these anyone who keeps a farm to the north of Kaliki? Is there anyone you could point out to us?
I don't know. You'll have to look around. I don't think. I'm not sure. You know, I haven't done a count as to who survived and who didn't. I know some of my neighbors are no longer alive. But, you know, ask around, see what you can find.
Sure.
The people that did die, did they only die from the plague? In other words, did the cultists attack them physically?
I don't know. Okay. We assume they died from the plague. I'll say that, you know, another one of the villagers who's nearby, he says that I've been talked to by the cultists. I told them to get off my land, but they demanded that we give them food.
Where was this? Where was your land?
I have a farm not too far from Alicardi says they demanded food from me. They said that they would destroy our crops if we didn't feed them.
How many of them were there?
There were three. But they said that they represented a lot more.
How much food did they take?
They pretty much emptied out my barn. But by then, I just left. Me and my family left.
Did they say why they were here?
Did you recognize their accents?
Goth.
Did they say why they're here? Why are they tormenting the towns?
No, they're Satanists. They're evil. They're just I don't know what they've got in mind. Or why they would spread the plague. They're evil. They're like witches, you know. They're doing that sort of thing. I think that they probably control the creatures that they send out to infect people. Maybe they have a hidden temple somewhere up in the mountains. That's probably where they came from.
How did they take the food away?
They took my cart.
Let's see. And where is this? Could you give me directions to this farm of yours from Alicati? How would you get there?
I'm not sure how I could tell you that. It's... You'd have to be in Alicardi, and I could show you how to get there from there.
Let's see.
The cultists, by the way, came to my house during the daytime.
During the daytime?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. How far is Alicati from Kaliki?
Well, it's on the way. About an hour's trip. It should only take you. It should only take you about 3 hours to get to Kaliki. An hour to Assyrians, an hour to Alicati, and then an hour to Kaliki. And you're passing farms all along the way.
There's three of them.
It's by horse, right? Or is that by foot?
By horse. Okay. At a leisurely pace, you know.
Three of them leads me to believe that they've got some sort of permanent base. And they're sending people out for supplies.
Did you ask that? I think I phased out there. You asked them how much food they take? Did they take more than what three people could eat?
Oh, yeah.
They took
everything. They cleaned out his barn. Somebody else nearby, she was like, they're not cultists. They're the living dead.
Why say you that, citizen?
It's just who they are. Their faces are all torn up.
You saw them then? Where did you see them?
It's what I've been told.
You haven't seen them yourself, though?
No, we got out there as soon as we could. I don't know why I have a cocky accent.
I can't place that accent.
Strange is the day we were born. They were as gothic as anybody could be gothic.
You haven't got a brother who works as an Australian steamer captain, have you? By any chance?
So, information, whether it's true or not, you spend about an hour. These are some of the other things that you hear. You hear that the flayed are lunatics who mutilate themselves as a sign of devotion to Satan. You hear that they're heretics, murderers, warlocks, witches. They're granted dark powers by making pacts with the devil. That they drink the blood of the living and eat the flesh of human beings as a perversion of the Last Supper from the Bible. You hear stories of ghosts, of of other monsters, things that look like humans. You hear tales of things that slither along the ground and climb into people's beds and kill them. One consensus is that they don't come out at night. I mean, they don't come out in the daytime. Or the only time that they've ever been seen was when it was extremely cloudy and there was no sunlight, you know. And one of the people who's a very religious Christian says that the symbol of the hero, which is on Eldrick's Emmerich's shield, wards them off.
What does this symbol look like? I was going to mention that.
The hero is... I'll do it for you. I'll show one on the screen, but it looks like this.
Oh, okay.
It's the first two letters in Christos, Christ. So it's used as a Christian symbol. If Emmerich wasn't here just a minute ago, one of the villagers says that the symbol hero, which is on your shield, will ward off the evil.
Yeah. That's what I wear when I go into battle.
Yeah.
I paint that on my forehead.
Is there a vampire myth back in this time?
Not really.
Oh, yeah, no, there is.
Well, vampirism is really started in Romania, Russia.
No. You've got Lamia.
Well, there's monsters, the Lamia, but the Lamia were horse-like women with, you know, witch powers. Blood drinking, obviously.
Well, what about the story of, like, the Greek story of Mormo? You know, because that's kind of... where the whole, I mean, because it traveled from the Slavic areas down into Greece, and would we have known about like Mormo and the whole blood drinking thing and that?
No, I don't know. It's a historical thing, but the concept of a monster drinking your blood is definitely been around.
Okay.
But specifically vampire, I don't think the idea that, you know, the undead rise up and drink the blood of the living, that's a little later. But at least not.
Oh, the children of the night. What an awful bloody racket they make. You have to be Hungarian and double jointy.
After after an hour or so, you've gleaned all of those sort of stories.
Okay. Is there anyone from... Sirens, who talks of having seen the cultists.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely. Let's do this for me. Do us like a psychology roll. Do we have psychology in this?
We have insight.
Insight. Do insight. Okay. You can all roll an insight roll.
Oh, 38. Oh, just about, yeah, 38 of 40 is my skill. Okay. Anyone's got anything better than that?
Well, what all of you sort of, I mean, you're not definitely not in agreement over this, but people lie. People tell stories. Telling stories is definitely something that happens. So even if they say they've seen them, they sound like they're just repeating what that other person said, you know. But there does seem to be a consensus that there are people in robes, that they seem to tear the skin off their own faces. Sounds like a cult.
Hmm.
There probably are Goths that save weapons.
If they're pillaging food, then they're unlikely to be supernatural creatures, are they?
Right. And the idea that they're brigands or people up in the, you know, Gothic escaped slaves, that's possible too.
They may be a cult. They may simply be brigands capitalizing on an outbreak plague.
It's possible too that they're not related at all, the two instances.
Is there any talk of any of the villagers trying to fight back?
No. The villagers are very superstitious, so they're afraid.
Has anyone ever seen one of the cultists with any sort of weapon?
Yes. They all have knives.
You hear that, archery people and crossbow people?
Yep. I mean, the plan was to basically stay as far away from anybody around here.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, I'll stay an arrow's length away from them.
As you are getting close to being, you know, finished with what you want to do here, you hear screaming coming from the plague tents. They're you know, maybe 200 feet away at the closest, but there's definitely something going on over there. Once again, it just sounds like maybe somebody's dying and they're screaming in agony. It's a noise you're getting used to.
Hell of a plague if it does that. Can we get any closer and see what's going on?
Yeah, should we check that out?
Well,
I don't want to be gory and watch someone.
I mean, are there multiple screams, or is it one person screaming?
It sounds like at this point one person yelling very loudly. It sounds like a man's voice. And he's screaming out something about the devil coming to get him or something along that lines, and that he needs forgiveness.
Has anyone actually asked, have any of us asked a plague victim how they got the plague?
Good question. I don't think so. We keep hearing a lot of rumors, but I don't know if we actually specifically asked them.
You know, the other question is, how long do they tend to last? How long does those who are initially infected?
The doctor explained that they seem to show symptoms within 2 days. And that if they can last about 6 more days, then they begin to slowly recover. Otherwise,
so some of them have recovered.
Yes.
There have been survivors.
Now, what's the ratio of the, you know, people who will recover versus those who...
It's not very high.
I think you told us last time 4 in 10 people die from it.
Correct. Yeah. That's not too bad, but it hasn't been going on for that long. So, yeah, 4 in 10 die, and they end up getting ulcers all along their back, their spine, and eventually the skin sloughs off the body.
As though they'd been flayed.
Yeah. Emmerich, do you have any advice? How do we battle these cultists, or is it just good old cold steel?
Well, cultists are human. It's the forces that they approach that are inhuman. So, in my readings and in my teachings of the faith, all we simply need to do is just eliminate the human element.
That's good, because humans I can fight. I don't know about some demon or devil or Satan.
Well,
humans.
As long as we have a sound and resolved faith, we won't have any issue with demons or Lucifer. We'll have issues with, like I said, the human element. And we've taken on humans before. It's why I'm not worried.
So do you think that these people have wavered in their faith, and that's the reason why they've been affected?
It's a possibility, but that makes it sound more like it's like a punishment. I don't think so. I think it's like the story of Job, that maybe these people are of resound faith and the devil's attacking them, specifically because they're of sound and resolved faith, testing their limits.
You said you were heading towards the plague tent?
Yeah, just check on that screen. Yeah.
Well, it's something that you would have to actually go in if you wanted to see what it was, but it's definitely right inside. You know, this person is screaming.
I'm right behind you, Melanius.
Well, I'm going to go and have a look. I think... I mean, I haven't been in there yet, and I'm... I have to say that my natural sense of reticence is taken over a bit by the fact that I'd quite like to know what we're dealing with. I don't want to be walking in blind. And also, I think that if anyone's going to tell us where this plague is coming from, someone who's got it would be the best. So clutching a rag over my face, I'm going to walk in. And I'm not going to touch anyone. I'll tell you that already.
As you enter the tent, and the rest of you are coming in with him, so you can see this. One of the patients, it's a fairly large man. Looks like he could have been a rather good soldier at some point if he was in good health. He's sort of thrashing about on his cot, and you see one of the doctors, Pilatus, moving towards him rather quickly with what obviously is poppy extract. But at just as he gets there to give it to him, he flails his arm out and hits the doctor and knocks the narcotic out of his hand, and the doctor falls backwards onto the ground, and the victim the plague victim sort of sits up, and Mick, I would like you to do a dodge roll.
Dodge roll. That's not very good. That is 39. And my dodge is 45. Oh, bloody, I did it.
Okay. This,
assuming this, that it's just a normal and not a hard.
This poor victim, who's obviously in excruciating pain, is trying to get up. And, he needs to be restrained in some way. He almost hits you, but you manage to dodge it. The doctor's still on the ground, dazed from getting hit. Does anybody else want to do anything?
I will pull out my crossbow, and if this guy, if he looks like he's going to attack any of my friends here, I will fire a bolt. Put him out.
Okay. He's yelling mostly about Jesus, so.
I'm outside the tent anyway. I didn't go in last week, so I can't think of a reason to go in this week.
So anybody else want to do anything? help the doctor up.
I'll walk behind and begin praying, because the guy's out talking about Jesus.
Okay. So you're near the guy?
I'd say, you know, out of arm's reach.
Okay. Do a dodge for me.
Oh, you a little slimy little button. 28, and my dodge is 27, and no!
All right. The guy moves really fast, and his hand simply comes out and grabs a hold of your wrist. And he's like looks up into your eyes, and of course his eyes are bloodshot. He's got lesions on his skin, and he starts, "Please, Father, please help me. Forgive me for my sins. Don't let them take me. I can hear them coming." And you find that his grip on your hand, on your wrist, is extremely strong. Actually hurts your wrist.
Okay, well, I'm not going to fight against him. I lean in. I walk in. And I say, "Who's coming?"
He says, The demons are coming to take my soul to hell." And you realize as you're getting... You say you lean in. The guy reeks, of course. He reeks of death. He's got open sores. You're afraid that he is going to actually pull you all the way in, like to get where you're touching.
Yeah, I get it.
If you want to pull away, you just use your strength roll.
I don't know. I don't know really what I want to do. I feel like my character would empathize.
What do the rest of you want to do? This guy's got a hold of Emmerich.
I will take careful aim at the guy's head, but I'm not going to fire. If he makes like one sudden move towards Emmerich, then I will fire.
Is there a blanket or something to hand?
Yeah, sure.
Because I was thinking, if there was a pile of blankets, if we could pick up a blanket, one of us could hold either end of the blanket and get on either side of him, and we could just sort of subdue him with the blanket to get him back on the bed.
Okay, so you're like, try to wrap him up in it and push him back?
Kind of, yeah. Just sort of, you know, one on either side and just sort of like using it.
Okay, so who?
Is someone willing to help me with this? Otherwise, I'm just basically just throwing a blanket over just the bloke.
Waving a blanket around the air.
Yeah, which otherwise, if no one helps me, I'm just going to throw a blanket over him.
We have to consider too at this point that this is all happening very quickly.
I'll help.
All right, so the two of you grab a blanket.
Quick, grab the other end of this, quick.
Yep. And describe exactly what you're doing. You've got the guy grabbing a hold of Emmerich's wrist.
Yes.
And trying to pull him in.
We're basically going to just hold the blanket out either side of this man. And just each of us hold like a corner, two corners each. Not put fully out. I'm doing these expansive arm gestures that don't fit in the screen that I'm using.
Okay.
Not fully out, but just enough so that it's maybe a couple of feet wide.
Okay.
And then just using that to just sort of put that the blanket over the sort of upper arm chest area of the man.
And kind of just push him away.
And just kind of like push him away.
All right. Do a strength roll for me.
Okay. I was looking for the dice roller.
Me too, or just him?
66. And my strength is 65. So no.
I failed. Pretty close, though. I passed.
Go on then. I'll spend a luck then.
A luck roll. All right.
Yeah, I'll spend a luck point.
All right.
Down to 65.
And Emmerich, are you going to move forward with him, or are you going to try to pull back as well?
I don't really know. Okay, I'm just gonna make a decision now. Okay, I'm gonna say hi. Okay, I move in, and I'm going to essentially say, "Ease yourself," because your fear is what the devil wants. It may be your time, but allow Jesus to comfort you in these final hours, and I'm going to keep praying.
Okay, at this point, he just begins to howl in pain, and as Millennius and Galerius push back with the with the towel, with the blanket, Emmerich, you feel like the guy's grip is lessening on your wrist. But to your horror, what actually is happening is his skin is coming off his body like a blanket. With the hand still gripping your wrist.
Oh, that's pleasant.
And the guy howls in pain and begins to vomit black goo as his skin sloughs off.
Can I fire my bolt? I was waiting for something like this.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, you kidding me? Alright, so no, that misses. 89 out of the 85.
So, where did your bolt go?
I didn't critical fail, so.
But your bolt had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Your bolt just goes into the bed.
Okay.
Shaboom, like this. As the guy, you know, has the death rattle, you hear it, and breathes his last, and Emmerich, you still have his skin holding on to your wrist.
I'm gonna unfold the blanket a bit more and cover his face.
Yeah,
I fear that I might lose my.
You guys need all to do a sanity roll.
Military breakfast.
Thanks.
Nine. That's passed.
13.
So it's 1/1d4. So if you make it one sanity point, if you don't, 1d4. By now the doctor is recovered. The other doctor is there as well, and oddly enough, they sort of put their hand on you, Emmerich, like. I don't know if it's, I guess it's kind of in a reassuring manner because they've seen this over and over again. And it's like, it's horrific, but they've gotten a little more used to it. And what they do is, along with what Millennius did, they cover the body in the sheet. And they're like, you know, is there some reason why you're here? Did you just come because you heard the screaming? They all die this way.
We're part of the relief garrison that's being sent out.
Yes, we met you yesterday.
We've been sent to reconnoitre the sites of the outbreaks, and we were just wondering. You must have spoken to quite a lot of the plague victims. Did any of them tell you how they contracted it? Did they indicate?
A lot of them claim bites. and we found what looked like bite marks occasionally, though not like any animal I've ever seen before.
What form did these bite marks take?
Well, let me show you. And he takes you over to a victim who's actually sleeping rather soundly at the moment. And you can see on his, like, ankle that there seems to be a wound that's somewhat a semicircle and a semicircle, you know, like a mouth, about mm-hmm. the size of a mouth. But it doesn't look like teeth or fangs or anything like that. It's like it was almost cut with a ragged knife. Mm-hmm. And he explains, I've seen similar marks like this, not always on the feet, but sometimes on the arms, sometimes on the chest. But they're not necessarily similar. They're usually about the same size, but some of them look more like teeth and some look less like teeth, and some just look like scrapes and some look like cuts. And of course, we can't verify that they all look like that. All the victims have had this. Some of them don't seem to. They seem to be contracting it in some other way.
We've heard rumors of them being bats. Do any of these bites that you've come across look to be the size of a bat?
I wouldn't say so, no.
Judging from the size that we're looking at, does it look bigger than a human?
Bats have little tiny mouths. I'd say similar in size to a human.
Okay.
Certainly not a dog or anything like that, or a larger animal. And they sort of go back to work. Their work never ends.
Ragged. They look. So it looks more torn than bitten. Maybe as though something has attached itself to them and being torn off.
Yeah. Or that's just a natural process. If something bites you, you actually pull away and it's going to tear. Mm-hmm.
You do run into a number of victims who are still, they're not advanced into the disease yet. They've had it for maybe 3-4 days. There's at least 3 or 4 of them that claim that something woke them up in the middle of the night biting them.
It's like an animal
bit. No. Well, some of them say demons, some of them say...
But nothing that was big enough that they saw it leave the room.
Right, no.
Is anyone here claiming that they haven't been bit?
No, I mean...
Does anyone say that they actually saw it?
You're getting the same stories as you get in the other one, that it was a demon flew in the window, or a monster slithered along the ground and bit them, or they're the general consensus is demons. Mm-hmm. Shadowy, ghosty demons, things. Now, I'd say it's been about an hour and a half.
So does this thing have an actual physical solid form, or is it gaseous? I don't know if that term was used back then, but is it sort of like a mist, or is it like a...
There's no answer for that question, so...
Let's get out of this tent.
Yeah, good idea.
And once we get outside and the tent flap closes, I do like an icky dance, like I'm trying to shake the germs off of me.
Nice, was it?
You don't want to go in there.
I know.
That was
I didn't.
Pretty foul.
Can I check him? Is he where he was hand where they shook his hand. Is he okay? Is there any open cuts or anything?
Nope, no scratches. He really more or less had a hold of Emmerich's clothing. I don't know what if you guys were. Would your wrists be bare?
Van braces.
Yeah, well, if we're wearing braces, aren't we?
Yeah. But in any case, Emmerich, do a constitution roll.
No problem. I have a high constitution. My constitution is a 75. I rolled a 74. I'm okay. Barely okay.
You guys are rolling a lot of barely rolls.
That's forever.
All right. So what's your next plan? By this time, Tilius comes and joins you. Anything interesting?
Well, we've seen... Yes, we've seen bite marks. What looks like bite marks of some sort. And people talking about things biting them in the middle of the night. Lots of differing descriptions of what they think bit them, but the bite marks all look quite similar.
Mm-hmm. Emmerich, are you okay? You look kind of shaken.
I look to him, and I don't have that usual jolly smile on my face. And I say, I'll be all right, and I just kind of shake it off. Because, yeah, I don't really want to talk about it. I saw a guy's hand come off and grip onto my wrist. That's not fun. I don't want to really talk about that.
Right about this time, the tent flap opens, and the two doctors... with obviously the body wrapped up in sheets, they bring it out. They're, you know, one on either end, and they're taking it over to the trench that's in the back where they've thrown all the other bodies. And Tilius just sort of rolls his eyes like, holy crap. And of course, the sheets are all bloody.
If nothing else, Emmerich, I think you brought him moments of peace in his final moments.
Well, I hope so. It didn't sound like he went peacefully.
Off to find some cultists?
Is that our plan? We're going to head to the towns, the villages.
Yes. All right. Let's do that.
Okay. So, there is a very obvious trail. It's halfway between a trail and a road, because there is commerce between these little towns. You're heading out from the Gillian outpost. You have your horses. You ride for about an hour. There's woodlands on your left side and fields on your right. There are farms. The very odd thing is that it's all rather lovely. It's almost hard to believe that something so terrible is going on right here. The farms, of course, are abandoned. You don't see any people out there. And after about an hour, you come to the outskirts of Serence. And I'd say it's probably a village that holds, oh, no more than maybe 20 or 30 people when people are there. As you come into the little village, as reported, there are dead bodies lying here and there. Most of them have been skinned, but the skins are not there. And the few bodies that still have the skins on them seem to have been killed by weapon, maybe knives, maybe stabbed, and so forth. I would like you all to do a spot hidden roll.
Ooh, an
01. I passed that.
No.
I think Belisir wins. As Belisir, as you are walking forward, and there's a dead body lying there on the ground, and you guys are all kind of wary, and you're all looking at it. And this is one of the ones that has been flayed, or skin's gone. You suddenly notice something. Start over a little bit. You guys all have what the guy in the tent was talking about, that sort of over-oppressed, bizarre feeling like it's such a beautiful day, it's a beautiful countryside, and something just seems incredibly wrong. And Belisir, as you're looking at this dead body lying there on the ground, which has probably been there for 3 or 4 days, you notice 3 things. One, it's not bloated. 2, there's no smell. And 3, there are no insects or scavengers of any kind that have touched this body. And in fact, you notice that none of the bodies have been touched by scavengers or flies or anything.
That is indeed strange. I'll bring this up to everyone.
That's a very sinister omen.
Yeah.
That's what seems so very strange, is that you would expect there to be flies and blood buzzards or, you know, something picking at these bodies, but
nothing.
It's unnatural.
What do you reckon, old man?
No other movement in town or anything like that?
Nope. It's like a ghost town, except for the dead bodies.
It's really a ghost town, then.
Except I think their ghosts all ran away.
Looking at some of the nearby homes in the village,
mm-hmm.
Does it look like they've been looted?
Yes. It looks like foodstuffs have been taken and things that are somewhat useful. Some of those have been taken. Some of it has been vandalized.
You haven't torched the place, huh?
No, no torches.
Can I examine the ground and see if anyone's left a trail?
I'll do a spot hidden for me.
That's a fail.
I'll hold your house while you put your horse where you dismount.
It's too... Maybe there's too many days have passed.
Why don't we fan out, stay within eyesight of one another, and just kind of poke around the town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dismount.
How long would you say that you're going to spend here looking? Let's get a time on this so that we know what time of day it is.
Well, what time of day is it now?
Let's say that it's early enough. Let's say it's only about 10 o'clock.
Does someone want to stay with the horses? Otherwise, I'll do it.
I'll stay with the horses if you want.
All right. I'm worried if there are people looting. I don't want someone taking our horses while we're off.
You're too right. Right. Don't even get scared off. I'll keep an eye on them, make sure they're all tethered up.
Well, how long do you want to search?
I figured.
Let's give it. How big would this particular town be?
It's tiny.
It's tiny. Let's give it about 15 to 20 minutes. We'll go in opposite directions.
That sounds good. In 15 and 20 minutes, as you're exploring, you just simply find the same thing over and over again. You'll find a couple bodies. You'll find some of them flayed, some of them not.
All of the bodies seem to not be bothered by insects or flies or wild animals.
Nothing seems to be bothered. Nothing.
Okay, so.
And.
You
begin to sort of surmise that a lot of the flayed looked like they probably had the disease, died from the disease. But some of them, including some, and a lot of the other people, they don't. They look like they were killed, murdered. Go ahead, Bellis here. You got a really good roll earlier. Go ahead and do another spot hidden roll for me.
And that one failed, 89.
Okay. All right. So after 20 minutes or so, you're pretty much convinced that there's nothing in the town that is going to be any different than what you've already seen.
You've already said that the bodies haven't been touched.
Correct.
By animals or insects.
Right.
Are we aware of any animals, insects, or birds in the area?
Do a spot hidden for me.
22, 25. Yes.
Well, as you close your eyes and concentrate, you're pretty sure that there are some bird noises in the woods and, you know, what you kind of expect. Maybe you see a bird fly overhead, but nothing's coming down here where these bodies are.
So the animals themselves are staying away. Huh.
Well, if the bodies aren't smelling, then that probably wouldn't attract the flies or the animals. Do the murdered bodies smell?
No, nothing smells.
It is odd.
And yet, when we were in the tent, the plague victims smelled.
Yeah.
Witchcraft.
Galerius, why don't you do a spot hidden for me?
Sorry, that's me.
Yeah.
No, we're 80 out of 40.
Okay. So that's it. You don't find anything more in this town, and you can see the other road leading out, probably towards. It's actually, you were heading southeast. There's a road going northeast out of the town. You've got like a mountainous, not a mountain, but a hill, fairly high hill, on your left. But that's obviously the town. That's the road that's going to Alicati.
The hill, is it wooded?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we head towards the hill? or keep on the trail to the.
You're the boss. You want to guess the hill? We guess the hill.
I'm not mentioning the hill because it's part of the plot. It's just part of the landscape.
Okay.
Well, if we go to the hill, well, I know you say it wasn't much of a hill, but how tall is this hill?
That's about 900 feet tall.
That can give us a good vantage point.
Yes, your horses can't go through the woods. There's no trail.
There's no trail. Hmm.
And it wouldn't necessarily. It's probably wooded all the way to the top.
Okay.
Right.
And we don't want to leave our horses.
No, yeah. I think we should stick to the...
climbing a tree.
Continue. That's not a bad idea. Well, maybe we should just continue on to Alicati. We'll be cautious.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
While we're searching, well, from this point on, if we're searching anywhere, especially when we get to any larger villages, can I keep an eye out for a jar or some sort of container of pitch, which I imagine would be quite easy to find.
Okay.
Everywhere. It's quite useful stuff. I'm just going to keep an eye out for a small, some pitch and maybe a little jar or something that I can put some in.
Okay. All right. The weather seems to be changing. It's getting kind of gloomy. Some clouds are rolling in. You've got about an hour before you get to Alicati if you follow the road. You pass more farms, and eventually you come to Alicati. Now, Alicati is actually even smaller than Sirens. Maybe a dozen or so families would have lived here. You find a number of dead bodies, the same conditions. There's no animals eating them. Let's see. How about Damaneus? Why don't you do a spot hidden for me?
I fell with 78.
Okay. Go ahead, Emmerich. You do one too.
All right. Nope, I failed.
All right. So you spend maybe 30 minutes in Alicati, and you don't find anything.
The horses is beautiful.
You don't find anything different than
what you've got. Up some pitch.
I'm gonna just give that to you. You find what you're looking for. You know where to look. Now the at this point, that hill, I'm just sort of giving you, the hill is really not significant. The hill is now to your west, so you've come around the hill. The road now leads still a little more northeast to Kalaki, and that's probably only about 40 minutes more.
How long have we got before nightfall?
Well, let's see. It was 10 o'clock, 11 minutes. It's about noon.
As we can make it easy before nightfall.
Yeah. And you're also not, pushing your horses.
Yeah.
All right. Now, just as you are getting to... before you get to Kalaki, there's something odd that you notice. There is a farm. And something just looks odd about this farm. I would like you all to do another spot hidden.
86.
Oh, what does the star one mean? 104. No, that can't be right.
This counts as four. Much use as Rupert. It's four.
Sorry, I'm getting far too used to computerized dice rolls. Rolling an actual dice confuses me. I got a four. What were we rolling again? Was that a spot hidden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you got that, yeah. All right. Millennius, you got a four.
Yeah. 104.
You start to realize that there is something that you've seen, and you didn't realize what you were seeing it at first. As you're riding on your horse and you're on the road and you're heading towards this farm that's right in the, you have to kind of go around the farm to get to the town, Kalaki. You realize that there are strange discolorations in the soil on the road in places. And it's enough to make you get off your horse and take a closer look. And what you think you see, it's something that was bloody, but that it was moving. It was slithering towards that farm. Or maybe it's slithering towards Kalaki, and it's just going in a straight line through the farm. But there's more than one. It's one of those things that you saw it, and then you saw it again, and you saw it again, and it didn't click until now. But you might be looking at trails.
I'm going to draw everyone's attention to this immediately. This,
like,
it's very sinister.
Like what you'd expect. Maybe not quite, but like giant snail trails. But they're not slimy. There's little traces of blood on the soil.
And about how wide are these trails?
About maybe no more than a foot. It varies. It's sort of, you know, it's not exactly straight, but it's almost as if something were dragged along there, or slithered along there. Like this
sound of a fire, or anything like this. The area is inhabited, isn't it? From the actual farmhouse. The actual farmhouse built. The farmhouse building. There's no fire or smoke coming from indicating it's occupied.
No.
It's not like somebody was crawling, is it?
It doesn't look like they were crawling. It looks more like something, like as if you threw your jacket on the ground and just dragged it along behind you.
If I ride round to the other side of the farm, are there tracks on the other side?
That'll take you a few minutes. You're going to do that?
Well, I might. If someone holds my horse for me.
I'll come with you.
Yeah, I'll just go and all right, okay, come on. We'll ride around the other side of the farm.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
See if there's any tracks on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, in part at least, you have to go through the farm. It's the fastest way. It's a big farm. There is kind of a barn-like structure, and as you approach, you get a very strange foreboding sort of feeling. It's sort of a very oppressive foreboding. And what's actually happening at this very moment is a large black thundercloud has just passed across the sun, and the whole area that you're in has gone into shadow. And as this happens, something begins rattling the barn door from the inside.
How are horses behaving?
They're skittish. They're well-trained horses, but they're skittish.
What is old man? What do you want us to do?
Are we all together, or is it just you?
Tilius is there. I imagine he's just as curious as the rest of you are. Like, what is going on? What is that? What's in the barn?
Do you want me to go and check, or?
I think we need to get the horses away from this before we investigate. It's whatever it is upsetting the horses. We don't want them bolting.
Swords out, guy. Make sure.
Could be. I'll pray for my large spear.
All right. Yeah. We'll go and tie the horses up, and I'm going to knock an arrow.
Okay, a javelin ready. I have my large spear and my shield hand, Bob. A javelin. Okay.
At this moment, it also starts to rain a little bit.
Right, sure. One of us is going to have to open the door from the other. Do you want me to open the door while you shoot?
Well, you're not that close, so you know.
I'll talk to Malonius about tactics. Okay.
Yeah, if you do that, and Bellis has got a crossbow, haven't you?
Yep, I have it out and ready to go.
Okay.
We'll make out as a general plan when we get close enough. I'll approach the door to open it and get out of the way so my characters with
okay.
missile before weapons.
Before you get to the doors, also, towards the side, you notice the farmhouse itself. The door is wide open. It looks like it's been abandoned. Though you don't see any bodies. These are probably farmers that ran to the village. Okay, just as you begin to approach, I need to know an order, okay? Let's say the barn doors are in front. Who's closest to the barn doors? Who's farthest away from the barn doors?
I'm hanging back because obviously I've got a bow, so I'm taking up a static position.
And I'm taking an aiming position, sort of in the midpoint, so not up front, but not way in the back either. I'm trying to get a nice clean shot.
All right. Are we all together? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll approach with you, Domenius.
There is a moment when that oppressive feeling sort of comes down on you. You really feel it strong. And at that very moment, the barn doors fly open. And three creatures, they look like, for all intents and purposes, like humans with incredibly loose skin and large pointed ears, and their mouths are open, and there are obviously fangs, and they make the most god-awful noise as they come rushing out, at first haphazardly, and then they immediately target three of you. So let's see who. You guys, of course, have the advantage because you guys were waiting.
I am going to fire. Tell me
about
that.
They're going to head towards. Whoops, that's not the dice that I wanted. That's the dice I wanted. Emmerich, Millennius, and Damonius.
Let them come.
No, I am going to fire an arrow at the one that's coming at me.
All right. All right. As the thing comes towards you, you fire. Go ahead and do your roll.
I'm going to fire as well before...
That is 11, and I've got
no.
5.
Good shot.
Damage?
1d8 plus 1. Oh, it's the first time I've ever rolled this 1d8. 3 plus 1 is 4.
Okay. The second one is heading towards Emmerich. Wants to fire at it. Did somebody else fire at that one?
No, I was going to fire it. I guess I'll fire at that one.
I held a javelin, but I missed.
And I got a 25. 25 out of 85.
Okay. Damage.
All right, that's 3 points of damage. Wow. Not impressive.
Was that a 25? Is that a critical?
That's a hard.
Hard.
Okay. The third one is heading towards Demoneus. You said you tried with your spear, but you failed?
Do you get an impale bonus for a critical, not for an extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you have to get an extreme.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's extreme.
Right.
I did get an extreme then. I got 11, and my extreme would be 17.
Oh.
So that would mean that I did another 9 points of damage. It was.
Well, in that case, what did you use? Your sword?
I used my bow.
Oh, your arrow?
Yes.
Okay. You managed to hit the thing square in the head, and it goes down with a bizarre sort of crumple, like throwing a tarp over something. It hits the ground. Next, let's see, go back to the one that was heading towards Damoneus. It's not too Damoneus, so he just missed, right? Does anybody else want to do anything? Emmerich, Galerius?
I'd like to prepare a shield bash, so when it comes within my vicinity, I want to try and knock it to the ground.
Okay, well, it's not running at you, so...
I thought you said it was.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Emmerich. I'm sorry. All right, so you're going to do a shield batch. It will be to you at the next turn.
All right.
Galerius, are you going to do anything?
I don't have a ranged weapon, so I'm going to head towards the nearest one. So I don't know who's closer, Emmerich or
Demoneus. Well, let's say Emmerich.
We were both approaching the door, so you might be close to me.
That's true.
Okay.
So I'll try to approach him with the intent of getting into melee combat with him.
All right. So that'll happen on the next turn.
Okay.
All right. One is already down. Dispatched rather easily by Millennius.
Nice shot.
So now the one that's heading towards... Demoneus. Emmerich. Sorry. Gotta keep my order. It's running towards you, Emmerich, and it's quite frightening looking. It looks like a reanimated corpse's skin with gigantic fangs. And claws and pointed ears.
That sounds like fun. Well, then I have no qualms with bashing it with my shield and then stabbing until it dies.
Okay, so go ahead and try to bash it.
All right.
It's flailing at you as it's coming.
I got a 3.
Do you know what? I got a 3 too.
You got a 3? Oh,
yes,
shit.
Yes, you win, so...
Oh, okay.
That was really weird when you said that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, I got a 3. Oh.
So I'm like, I got a 3? All right, so You're both flailing at each other, but you manage to bash it. And are you going to swing with your sword?
Yes.
Let me roll. All right, give me a damage.
My damage with my Spartha is 1d8 and a 1d6. So I've done 10 damage. Oh, hold on. Plus my bonus damage. I've done 12 damage.
Okay. You sliced into it and brought it down in front of you.
Is it down, or is it coming back up?
It seems to be down. And
okay.
Like I say, it's like throwing a tarp on the ground. It just sort of collapses into inanimacy.
Okay.
When you say it's like a tarp, do you mean that it's just skin, it's got no bone?
That's what it seems to. Correct.
Yeah.
It's just made out of skin. So we have one left, which is going after Galerius. Me. Is it Galerius? No, Demonius.
I'm preparing my uncomfortably named Hastur spear. My main spear. Okay. I'll prepare it for a charge.
All right. Go ahead.
I hit.
Okay. How well did you hit?
I got a 46, but my hard's 42. So it's just a normal, regular hit.
Okay. I actually got an 18. So the thing is going to you hit it with your spear, but you only do a minimal amount of damage because your spear just goes through it like it's a gigantic piece of skin.
I'm 5 points.
How much? 5? Well, like I say, I'm gonna reduce because you actually didn't do any damage. Yeah. So say you do two points of damage. But it flails out with its hands, which it doesn't actually have claws, but the skin itself has sort of been formed into sharp, hardened barbs, and it attempts to scratch you, which it actually succeeds in doing.
Mm-hmm.
Four. That's not much.
Don't forget your armor.
Yeah, my armor takes 6 points.
Okay, well, it only does 2, so it rattles against your armor. Anybody else?
I would like to fire an arrow at it.
And I'd like to take another shot at it as well.
Okay. First Millennius.
98. No.
Okay. Your arrow hits it and it just goes through the skin like there's nothing there. It doesn't seem to be slowed down or stopped by it. Elisir?
I'll try to shoot it in the head.
Well, I'm confused now because I brought the first one down like with one shot. And now
somehow you hit it right in the head. But and it did it. And it worked.
Wow. So
the same thing happens. Your crossbow bolt just goes through. No,
duck dominates.
No. I got a 99. So it may seem like my crossbow. The strings on my crossbow must have popped or something.
Hmm.
Oh no! Yes.
That is a critical failure. Gods and demons.
Well, I'll tell you what. Just for the fun of the game, mm-hmm. you can decide whether your cord snapped, or whether your bolt went off kilter and there's a chance it might have hit somebody.
I would rather have it snap than hurt somebody.
Okay. So what happened was when you cranked it back to pull it back, it snapped. You have it's not a brand new string on there anyway. You need to get a new string.
Or I can say that I didn't, you know, maintain it this morning like I usually do for some reason. My mind was occupied.
Well, they don't last forever. Eventually they give up. So the creature is going to lunge at Damanaeus.
I'm going to try and dodge.
Okay, go ahead.
I succeed.
Okay, yeah, he fails. It lunges at you and it moves, you move out of the way. You guys now have just this one creature left. Emmerich, what are you going to do?
I guess I'll bull rush it.
Okay.
I'm just going to charge at it, shield first, sword up, and jab down.
Okay, so your roll.
All right. So I got a 50 out of an 85. So that is a pass, but it's not a hard.
Okay, you bull rush it, you hit it. Roll for damage.
All right, so 8, 6, 4. I've done 8 damage.
Okay, that stops it in its tracks. All three creatures now lie on the ground like old tarps thrown on the ground, and they begin almost immediately to dissolve a little
decompose.
You also notice that just about this time, although it's still raining, some breaks in the clouds. Some sunlight comes through and lights up the area. You can see that these things are definitely skin creatures of some sort. Any seemingly hard parts of their body are now dissolving. And the places where sunlight directly hits it, it decomposes much faster in that spot. But now, before we finish, I would like you all to do a spot hidden.
A lot of spot hiddens in this last hour.
Yeah, you guys are spelling a lot of them.
Cost spend 3 luck points.
Oh, I got an 11. Why do you know you got 11 pick?
91, which I think means I'm just covering my eyes.
Cost spend luck.
Who won?
I got an 11. Cost
spend luck points.
Well, just a second. Who passed?
I got an 11.
I got an 8.
Okay. Just a couple of hits.
Certainly.
I
just take whatever you get, subtract 2 more points.
So, Galeris and Belisir, you guys are standing there for a moment. The sun comes out in spots, and at almost identical moments, you guys look over and you notice that there are 2 people in robes that are trying to sneak away. They're trying to head towards Kaliki. They're not very far away either.
Get them. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do anything?
Are we ending it there? Or are we?
Well, no. I mean, we still got a couple of minutes.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to tell your archer?
I will tell the archer and the gentleman with the broken crossbow. Hold it right there. Don't move.
As soon as you say, or as soon as you yell something, they start running. Now, when Tullius sees this, he's like, get them. They know everything, I'm sure of it.
Whichever one is at the back, I'm gonna loose an arrow at.
Well, don't kill them, leave them alive.
Well, you know, at the legs, or bring him down. Not all kill right. him, but bring him down. I've done this
with a javelin. But
I'm a soldier, I've done this before.
Hit him in his spine.
I don't know. I've done it again. I can't tell what this is. dice are very difficult to read. All the suspense.
Melodius, you've completely disappeared.
That's a two, I think.
Whoa.
The star, the elder sign star is a zero, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a two then.
Nice.
I'm okay. Thinking it's 100.
You hit one of them right in the back of the leg, which brings them down, but they're trying to get away.
I get 3 points of damage with my chaplain hit.
Is the other one still running?
Yes.
I'm going to knock another arrow then.
Well, if you don't get a chance, somebody else has to do something.
I threw a javelin and hit, and I've done 3 points of damage.
Oh, okay. Well, you threw a javelin and you hit. I don't know that you hit. Okay, you hit. Just for the sake of argument, we'll say that your javelin went right through the person's calf and pinned them to the ground. So you've got these two people pinned over there. What do you do? They're about 40 feet from you.
Let's run up on them.
Yeah, I say we swarm.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Both of them have pulled out knives, and they try to defend themselves. What you notice immediately is one is a boy and one is a girl. They look like they're in their either late teens or early 20s, probably late teens. They both have pieces of skin that have been removed from their faces. So they've got raw parts that seem to have some sort of lettering or meaning to them. Neither one of them is in any way skilled at fighting, so you're able to subdue them without even making a roll, and you end up with these two cultists. Last thing is that Tilia says, let's take these two back to the Gillian outpost and interrogate them.
Get them tied up.
And that's where we will begin next week. We'll assume that you guys walk back to the or ride back to the Gillian outpost with these prisoners. Okay. All right. Our players included Thomas McKeon, Mick Swan, Simon Ward, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with myself as the Keeper of the Secrets. Please consider visiting our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us greatly. One of our we're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We're also providing audio-only versions of our show free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Feel free to send us comments. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed our broadcast, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Raley inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Till next time, good luck and good gaming.